Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, according to one well-known wannabe Muslim reformer, now listen to this, those who oppose jihadi Islam, believing that the reform of Islam is not possible, okay, those who oppose jihadi Islam because they say reform of Islam is not possible due to the very dictates of the Quran itself, these people, now this wannabe reformer is saying, you guys are now alt-jihadist. Alt-jihadist. That's right. If you speak out against jihadi Islam too much, according to one Islamic wannabe reformer, you are yourself worse than the jihadists. Now imagine that. One of the persons singled out by name is our guest today on Stand in the Gap Today. His name is John Guandalo. He's been on with us before. He is the president of Understanding the Threat, and you can find that at understandingthethreat.com. He's a former FBI agent, and he's author of the FBI's Counterintelligence and Training Manual on Jihadi Islam in America. So there's nobody better to be speaking with us about this issue. So call or text your friends right now. Invite them to listen to today's program, as it, I believe, will be extraordinarily insightful. And particularly on this issue, other folks are talking about it, but I don't think you're going to be hearing it quite from the perspective we're dealing with it today. Is it possible, and this is the question I'm going to pose, is it possible that we are witnessing right now in America a new Islamic strategy to demonize those who speak the truth about Islam with the goal of dividing and conquering? We're going to talk about that in segments 2 and 3, particularly in this program today. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr. I'll be joined by David Kistler and Gary Dahl, and of course our special guest, John Guandalo, president of Understanding the Threat. But before we get into this enormously important subject, I wanted to highlight one piece of headline news that caught my attention last night, and it was this. The headline said, 4 of 5 Oklahoma City, Oklahoma students can't read the face of a clock. And this was just a few first few lines from the article. It said this, quote, they may miss that hour of sleep, but as we turn our clocks ahead, chances are kids won't be changing their watches. That's because the vast majority don't have a watch. A new study shows that only 1 in 10 Oklahoma City kids ages 6 to 12 own a watch, and only 1 in 5 know how to read it. It means they don't know how to read a face of a clock and a watch. So, Dave, let me go to you first on this. When I read this, my first reaction was, oh, man, another example of failed public education. But I thought about it a few seconds more, and I thought, well, no, I'm not so sure in this case. You know, in reality, we've moved from actual clocks to looking at the time on our cell phone. Is it a wonder that only 1 in 10 children can read the face of a clock? And in the end, does it really make any difference? Dave?
Well, Sam, I think it does. I think one of the things that technology is doing to us is dumbing down our culture. I can remember, Sam, when I was the manager of a fast food restaurant during my college days, how many of the young people that we hired who could not count change back to a customer unless, you know, on the face of the cash register, it said, you know, you need to give back $1.27. They could do that if they were told that. But if it did not tell them that, they could not count back change. So in the process of all the advancement technologically, I think we're losing something. I think we're dumbing down our culture, the younger generation. And I think this story, which is very, very interesting, Sam, I would have gone the same direction you did. Uh-oh, another example of poor public education. But when you look at it a little bit deeper, I think it's because now with the iWatch and all these other things, looking at the time on our cell phone, kids just don't know how to do, and they're not being taught by their parents to do the basic things like even reading the face of a clock or a watch.
Yeah, Gary, let me switch a little bit on this. Probably 15 years ago, so it wasn't just yesterday, it was some time ago, a neighbor boy in our neighborhood was down at our house playing with our sons, And if I recall it right, it was something to the extent that he wanted to either call home or he wanted to see if he could stay longer. And so my wife told him to call his mom. Well, he went over to the phone, and nothing was happening. And after a little bit later, he came back sheepishly to my wife, and he said he asked her if she could help him on the phone, because he didn't know how to use our phone. Now, it was a rotary phone, and you guys know what that was like. but he didn't know how to interface and use a rotary phone. In reality, it's the same kind of thing as not being able to see the face of a clock. But, Gary, as we move forward in technology, and Dave talked about it a little bit, are there some abilities and knowledges that we should be careful about not losing?
Well, Sam, I'm sitting here amazed that 15 years ago you still had a rotary phone.
Well, I was wondering if he still has it.
See, I was hoping you didn't bring that up. I actually still prefer a rotary phone. I'm kidding.
I actually can remember when we didn't have anything. You just picked up the phone and talked to the operator. But you know, getting to the point of it, I do think that there might be a problem with public education. Yeah, I think technology today has taken so much away. I mean, you pick up your telephone there, it says 12:11. I mean, you don't even have to read the clock, as it were. So I think technology has dumbed down society. And, of course, you know, these young people today know everything about every game that is out there that's technologically challenging. But when it comes to being able to count change, as David said, they can't do it. And, you know, I go back a lot to public education. I'm wondering if they're teaching children basic math the way that they should. They're not teaching children how to write in cursive anymore. I think that, you know, we've gotten away from some of the basics, whether those basics are taught by the family, mom and dad, or by the people in the public school. And consequently, it's leading us to a generation of people who are really dumbed down. They know how to think, but they don't know the basics. And that concerns me greatly, because you take away the basics, what is it that you have to stand upon?
Well, that's true. And guys, we could spend a lot of time on this, kind of humorous to think back how things have changed. But in reality, though, technology has changed. We're going now. We don't have people who don't want to use books. They want to go to digital things. So things are changing. But I wonder, and we're going to talk about it at the fourth segment of this program. In the end, whether you look at the face of a clock or you can read it, or you look at a digital face, the point is, can you tell the time? Do you know what time it is? And can you understand what it means when it's 1 o'clock in the day, or 11 o'clock at night, or 6 o'clock? Same thing on a phone. A phone, well, we can do things differently, but if we lose communication skills and person-to-person communication skills, then we're in trouble. On the end of the program, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about understanding the times. You may not be able to read a face of a clock, but you'd better be able to understand the times. Now, when we get involved in this next segment, we're going to go to John Guandalo here for Understanding the Threat. And we're going to get right into this new issue of is a new strategy of Islam being put forth, meaning that those who oppose Islamic jihad are now worse than the jihadists themselves. Is this an accidental statement, or is it a strategy developing?
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. For more than a decade, starting in the mid-1990s, Pennsylvania Family Institute helped lead efforts to try and prevent casino gambling from coming to our state. At that time, the proposals were for slot machines at horse racing tracks or riverboat casinos. Among the many arguments against the legalization of such gambling was that government would become addicted to the gambling revenue, and then any time a budget shortfall should arise, lawmakers would be tempted to expand gambling all the more, to the detriment of society, and especially to the disadvantaged and poor who suffer more of the ill effects of casino gambling. Well, I'm sorry to say that we were right. Once slot machines were approved in 2004, almost every budget cycle, either the governor or legislators pushed expanded gambling, and on more than several occasions, they made it happen. It's an unfortunate reality, one we clearly predicted, and saying I told you so doesn't make it any better. Find out more about us at pafamily.org.
If we are to guard against ignorance and remain free, it is the responsibility of every American to be informed. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.
I'm Beth Ann Mumford, Pennsylvania Director of Americans for Prosperity. Join me every Monday morning at 8 a.m. for the Citizens Bulletin. What you don't know is hurting you. Become an informed, effective, and empowered citizen impacting the important policy issues of the day. Right here on 1180 WFYL. Working for your liberty.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, September 12, 1777.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. That's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, just yesterday, an article written by Robert Spencer, who is it was a well-written article, but he writes a lot of articles. He's a bold voice for exposing Islamic jihadism. He, in an article, identified a very troubling statement by a self-proclaimed Muslim who proclaims himself to be a moderate. This fellow's name is Zudi Jasser, who named several people in this article, including our guest today, John Guandalo, as an alt-jihadist. And I'm going to read. This is exactly what he said. He said, quote, and I'm going to call it alt-jihadism. He said he was defining a new term to identify people who are opposing jihadist Islam. And he says, I'm going to call it alt-jihadism. Going forward in the article, it says, the alt-jihad is exploiting the idea of jihad in order to become powerful and in order to marginalize any solutions within the House of Islam. Indeed, he goes on by saying, indeed, there are no greater jihadists than the alt-jihadists when it comes to living in the land of freedom. And I'm assuming he's meaning living in America. And with that, I'm going to welcome in John Guandalo. He is the president of UnderstandingTheThreat.com. That's where you can go to find it. And he's a former FBI agent, and he's the author of the FBI manual, training manual on jihadi Islam in America. With that, I welcome you back to the program today, John. Glad to be with us.
Well, thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, John, you were specifically mentioned in this article. It's really a rather bizarre article, frankly, and some of these statements, but I want to ask you a first question here. The accusation by Zudi Jasser, who a lot of people see him because he's on Fox News, he's a lot of places. He is a self-proclaimed Islamic moderate. When he comes out and he says that you, and by that I'm saying probably us, are worse than actual real-life hate-filled Islamic jihadists in America. That's an amazing thing. From that perspective, what triggered this rage in him and this condemnation of you and others that he listed in his TV program the other day? What caused him to go off in this vein?
Well, that's the crux of what I think we should talk about. Isn't the timing interesting? Because one of the things that we speak about very frequently, and we've spoken about on this show before, is that this war is more a war of counterintelligence and espionage than it is on terrorism matters, much more. And when we talk about these things and we look at things that we've talked about on this show that happen and people take it for granted that they're just random things happening, when we unpack it and actually dig deep, you see, many of the things that we've watched in the last 6 months that have happened, and quite frankly, since 9/11, are happening because there are forces behind it driving it. And so I would ask the question back just for your listeners to chew on. Why is it that it was just on last Friday that he does this hour-long radio show on The Blaze where he literally spends the whole show, which was entitled Reform This, and he attacks myself, Robert Spencer, Pamela Geller, Claire Lopez, Andy Bostom, Steve Kirby, who's an ACT for America chapter leader. But essentially, besides Steve Kirby, who's doing great work at the ground level, the rest of us are nationally known for speaking truth about the Islamic threat. Why then? Why just now? So let me answer that question first and then unpack this whole thing. Well, this comes on the heels of the president's counterterrorism advisor, Sebastian Gorka, on a panel with Zudi Jasser defending him, specifically saying, Gorka did, that there's this internal battle in Islam where there are people who want, they're fighting for the, quote, soul of Islam. You know, these peace-loving Muslims waging war against these nasty jihadis, and as they call them, Islamists, a made-up term that doesn't exist in Islam, and that somehow there's this war going on in Islam. Well, first of all, that's a lie. That is a made-up lie. And so let's start that happens at CPAC. They're on a panel together, and less than a week later, Zudi is on his Blaze radio show, which I have no idea how many listeners, he's condemning us as being, as you said, as bad as jihadists, as bad as ISIS jihadists, because we speak factual truth about Islam. And if you listen, and I have the full transcript, which we can make available so you can put out for your listeners an initial rough transcript, but it's very close. And literally when you break down, and I listened to this thing and I went through the transcript, he contradicts himself over and over, but the one thing he says that's consistent is that what I am saying and what my colleagues are saying and what my organization, Understanding the Threat, is saying about Islam is consistent with what Islamic schools are teaching and what the highest authority in Islam says, which is Al-Azhar in Egypt. Now, his contention is that there is a mafia, that these are just, it's like the mafia that's taken over Islam, except all the authorities in Islam agree, which is why we teach it. We teach what Islam is based on what Islam says it is, based on a consistent scholarly understanding of Islam since the time of the Prophet Muhammad. And the psychotic disconnect from reality that we're dealing with is that today on the Glenn Beck show, when he was being interviewed by Glenn Beck and again lashed out and named me and my organization by name, what you have is he literally said that we can call what he's saying whatever we want, including mythology, but he has to give his children some version of Islam that offers hope. Now, I want you to imagine that that is the thing that the Sebastian Gorka wants to make the foothold upon which we build a national security strategy to defeat our enemy, on mythology, so Zudi can give his children hope in Islam. The problem is, Islam doesn't offer that. Islam is what Islam is. It's what the Quran is. He literally said he's teaching his children things about Muhammad that Islam doesn't teach. But do you understand? That means he's making stuff up for the sake of his children, and the advisor to the President of the United States is grasping onto that to use it for national security. This is why we're talking about it, because this is dangerous. It's why we're losing this war.
John, it's beyond dangerous, and one of the things we appreciate about you is that you do speak the truth, and anyone that has studied the 1,400 years of Islamic expansion across the globe understand that what Judy Jasser is communicating, and tragically, in fact, I'm shocked that Sebastian Gorka is in agreement with Judy Jasser. What he is now communicating is absolutely contrary to the truth. So let me understand something. Robert Spencer, of course, in his article, believes that the reform of Islam is not possible. Judy Jasser is communicating that it is possible. From your study, John, do you believe that Spencer is right, or is Judy Jasser right? And you maybe have already answered the question, but I'd love for you to underscore it once again.
Well, first of all, Zudi himself says that there's no country in the world where this can take place. So he's trying to breathe life into something that's not possible. So, okay, but let's start there. I don't think I need to say I agree with Zudi or I agree with Robert. When we talk about Islam, when understanding the threat teaches national security advisors or senior government officials or local police about Islam, we use the doctrine that they teach their children and the doctrine that is taught at Al-Azhar and the doctrine that is 100% agreed upon by the scholars, because it's what's in the Quran. And you have to understand, remember the two big things about the Quran, that the Quran says, and 100% of Islamic scholars have always agreed, what comes chronologically last in the Quran rules, and the tafsir legally defines every verse in the Quran. So when Zudi says, as he did today on Glenn Beck, my Islam, my version of Islam, he's talking about a fantasy. He's talking about a pink unicorn that doesn't exist. It may exist in his home, and that is awesome if he's teaching his children to love others, but to then tell the world that that means Islam can reform is to ensure that our national security apparatus takes its focus off the real threat to another threat. I believe he's doing it intentionally and to the detriment of national security in the United States. There's a chance I'm wrong on that. He might just be so deluded he believes what he's saying. But in either case, the fact that Sebastian Gorka is latching onto it is dangerous. So no, there is no possibility of a reformation in Islam. The term reformation is a term that doesn't exist in Islam.
John Guandalo, UnderstandingTheThreat.com. You've laid out some good information here, and we have a lot more questions to deal with on this issue and the implications of this issue. Now, it really bothers me that guys like Sebastian Gorka is supporting. It's really bothering me that this philosophy is getting out there. But we're going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, in the next segment, about how this fits into the broader strategy, perhaps with the Muslim Brotherhood itself, on this whole issue of counterintelligence that we're really involved in here. We're going to talk about that with John Guandola when we come back after this news.
WFYL. Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. Two Russian spies are among four people charged with stealing Yahoo users' information in 2014.
Dmitry Dokachayev and Igor Sushchin, both FSB officers, protected, directed, facilitated, and paid criminal hackers to collect information through computer intrusions in the United States and elsewhere.
That's Acting Assistant Attorney General Mary McCord. One hacker's been arrested in Canada. The heads of the House Intelligence Committee say they doubt President Trump's claim that President Obama had phones at Trump Tower tap before the election.
We don't have any evidence that that took place.
You can't level an accusation of that type without either retracting it or explaining just why it was done.
That's Republican Devin Nunes and Democrat Adam Schiff. They say they want any evidence presented at or before a hearing next Monday. Fox News, we report. You decide.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On this day, March 15, 1984, the Senate voted down voluntary prayer in public schools. President Ronald Reagan responded, "I am deeply disappointed that, although a majority of the Senate voted for it, the school prayer amendment fell short." President Reagan later remarked, "In 1962, the Supreme Court banned the saying of prayers. In 1963, the court banned the reading of the Bible in our public schools. Assaults were made in one court after another." President Reagan concluded, "Without God, there is no virtue because there is no prompting of the conscience. Without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us today on Stand in the Gap Today, our special guest is John Guandola. He is the president of UnderstandingTheThreat.com, and we're discussing an article that was released today where an individual, Zudi Jasser, who is a Muslim and a proclaimed moderate and what he believes to be the ability to reform Islam, has attacked John and others by calling them actually to be worse than jihadists themselves by speaking out against jihadi Islam. And John, before we go a little bit deeper into this, I want you to restate what you said in the last segment. You were framing the fight in which we're in and saying that it was more of a disinformation or propaganda battle that we're in. Rephrase that thought, if you can, for us before as we begin this segment.
Well, this is much more a counterintelligence and espionage issue than it is a terrorism matter. So that involves political warfare, propaganda, information operations. And what we're seeing, in my professional opinion, is a significant information operation, which has morphed since 9/11, because the American public has become more sophisticated in understanding that Islam is the problem. And it's one of the reasons I believe this president was elected, because Americans realize there are real threats that both Republican and Democrat establishment people are not dealing with. But the reality is the information campaign on the other side, on the bad guy side, has gotten a little more refined. And in this case, I know many people I'm having to explain, and I'm probably going to have to write about it, for instance, regarding Sebastian Gorka. They think because he uses the word jihad, what he's saying sounds right, but what he's saying is the same thing that has been said for the last 15 years, and it's why we've lost wars, which is Islam itself is not the problem. That the problem is there's this war going on. You know, in his book, he says Islam's not the problem. The problem is takfiri Islam, now, or takfiri jihadism, which is it's unbelievable. It's so convoluted. But again, what is the purpose of it? The purpose of it is to take us off the mark. So long as we do what President Clinton and President Bush and President Obama and their national security staffs and all the generals at the Pentagon said, which this problem has nothing to do with Islam, we will lose here in the United States just like we lost in Afghanistan and Iraq, despite the fact that militarily we crushed the enemy.
That brings me to the next question here, John, because you've laid that out. Let's go into this. Islam uses stealth or civilization jihad, as they call it. It's multifaceted. I'm going to use the word. It is demonically deceptive. You're describing that. And I would like to ask you this specific question here. Is this Islamic reform hope that is put out there, that fellows like Zadi is pursuing and others, and is that a calculated strategy, for instance, by the Muslim Brotherhood, or is it being received by people who actually believe it, or people who perhaps don't have the courage to stand up and actually speak what the truth is? In other words, you are laying out a scenario there. When you talk about generals in the Pentagon, when you talk about individuals throughout the various past administrations buying into this philosophy, are they people who are weak or ignorant who just don't want to know the truth? Or are these people, John, who are actually more than that? Are they sympathizers, real sympathizers with the Brotherhood and the jihadist movement? What are we talking about here?
Well, I think you have some of that. But I think when you talk about a lot of these people, like the generals, you have to understand when I say information warfare, I mean down to the ground level. Go into let's just talk about the military for one second. Go into the war colleges for the Army, the Marine Corps University at Quantico, the Joint Forces Staff College, and where do they go? To the Command and Staff College for the United States Marine Corps, 9 months, where they have majors and lieutenant colonels in there. 9 months, not one word of jihad. Are you kidding me? And you're not even allowed to talk about it. So you want to know why our generals are free of any clue? Because it's career limiting. And because they have been, it's been beaten into their head that this has nothing to do by Islamic professors and Islamic advisors who we can identify unanimously as being part of the Muslim Brotherhood's movement. Most of them are Muslim Brotherhood leaders. Some are just ideologically aligned. That's a matter of fact. And so, of course, that's going to produce 3- and 4-star generals and admirals that are thick as a cinder block when it comes to this issue. And they might be great men, they might be courageous men, they might be great warriors, but you will never win a war against an enemy that you don't know. It might accidentally happen, but we lost in Afghanistan and Iraq. And there are still military people arguing we didn't. I mean, how disconnected from reality. So when we talk about it, look, Zudi Jasser himself has said he thinks there are parts of the Muslim Brotherhood, like overseas organizations, that are okay. That's frightening. He himself says that he is creating a version of Islam for his family that is essentially make-believe. Is that the guy you want to base your national security strategy on and rely on him? These are the questions. If Zudi Jasser were doing this on his own and he were trying to do this and you know, we were trying, but he's not. He's attacking people who are speaking truthfully about Islam, number one. He's saying that Islamic organizations that are Muslim Brotherhood overseas might be okay. He is literally speaking at the largest conservative get-together, CPAC, articulating these, and is enjoined by the CT advisor of the President of the United States. That's when you have to say stop. This needs to be shredded. This argument needs to be shredded factually and shown for the dangerous ideology it is.
You know, John, this is, and it's important that we bring this up, and I appreciate you bringing it to our attention. Of course, this idea of Islam trying to paint a picture, a pretty picture, a peaceful picture of what they really are not, is not new. I mean, it's been going on for a long, long time, and I've been involved with it myself in the times past. I'll not get into that now. But they do try to deceive people in thinking that they are something that they are not. But two questions that I have. Number one, do you think that there's the possibility that Jasser and Gorka are plants by the jihadists? And number two, to what degree is this new Trump administration under threats from the Muslim Brotherhood these days?
So those are two.
Two questions. Number one.
The first one, I think, are two parts to it, because I think Zudi Jasser is shown, especially with some of his relationships with people that work around him who have direct ties, and the fact that he is, as much as he's spoken out against the Muslim Brotherhood, he's also, on the other hand, defended some of their organizations. So it's more likely that whether he's working direct with the Brotherhood or some other part of the movement, what he's doing, I don't see how it's not intentional. It's intentionally destructive. This seems like an intentional operation based on my experience of understanding the modus operandi of this enemy. And so whether it's a part of the Brotherhood's movement, for whatever reason, it's definitely directly supporting their efforts. So there is a likelihood, yes, that he is doing that. Number two, as I said earlier, there's also the possibility that he's so mentally deluded that he actually thinks he's doing a good thing in defending himself. But the fact of the timing, the fact of it comes on the heels of him working with Sebastian Gorka, who has his own very significant national security problematic issues, and that the people he comes after by name are essentially the only people in the country, minus Bill Warner, who was not mentioned, who are speaking very factually and really drilling down into the threat. So that's the first piece. Now, with Sebastian Gorka, I think there are deeper issues. I don't think it's out of the realm that there are deeper national security problems with him. And I would love to see a deep analysis of his background and a deep analysis of exactly what's behind what he's doing. I think that your question opens up the door for more questions, because I find he's either the most narcissistic person, which could be, to be in that position and simply disregard every other fact that's being firehosed in his face to the detriment of our national security because he wants to be the guy in the White House in charge, or there's something deeper there. And I think that needs to be investigated. There are a lot of questions about his background.
Yeah, and I think that, and the reason why I agree with you that it needs to be investigated is because he apparently has looks like the good guy on Trump's staff, does he not, to most people across the country?
Right, because people who have been dying to hear somebody utter the word jihad, it sounds good, but this is why information operations and propaganda work. They know how to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr, Dave Kistler, and Gary Dahl today. And our special guest, John Guandalo, president of UnderstandingTheThreat.com. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've been listening carefully today. You can get this program on archive, StandInTheGapRadio.com. Now stay with us when we come back after the break. We're going to go back to this whole issue of reading a clock face, and we're going to tie it into understanding the times, and particularly on this issue we're talking about today.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the Founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On this day, March 15, 1984, the Senate voted down voluntary prayer in public schools. President Ronald Reagan responded, "I am deeply disappointed that, although a majority of the Senate voted for it, the school prayer amendment fell short." President Reagan later remarked, "In 1962, the Supreme Court banned the saying of prayers. In 1963, the court banned the reading of the Bible in our public schools. Assaults were made in one court after another." President Reagan concluded, "Without God, there is no virtue because there is no prompting of the conscience. Without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
"Without God, liberty will not last," a quote from Thomas Jefferson.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
We began this program, ladies and gentlemen, talking about kids not being able to read the face of a clock. And we said that's not necessarily the issue, but if they don't know what time it is, if they can't understand the times by looking at the things around them and concluding and coming to right conclusions at the right time, then that's a problem. And really, on this program today, we've been talking to some extent about this theme all the way through. And John, let me go to you right off here in this last segment, because I want to ask a follow-up question that Dave and Gary and I were talking about offline here during the break. And that is this, the matter of the White House. We have been very supportive of the administration. We have been, as a station, individuals. We are very glad for the direction that the administration is going in so many areas. But this one area is one for which we are very concerned. I would like to know from you, what level of knowledge does the White House have? The fact that Gorka is there, as you're saying, and laying it out to be, is not a good sign. What is happening, and if I could just put it in this sense, who is winning the fight right now in the White House, the battle for freedom or the battle as waged by the Muslim Brotherhood? Who's winning?
Well, I would answer that by saying I don't think we're winning. I don't think liberty's winning right now, but liberty is trying to get on the, you know, like we say, trying to put freedom back on the offensive where it belongs. I think the president gets it. I get the sense that the president is extremely savvy on this, and I don't think he realizes, and I think he's probably beginning to realize, the depth of the battle he's in, that a lot of the people he's battling are within the Republican Party first. I think there are people around him who are Republicans who are working against him. I think there are certainly... the Democrat Party has demonstrated that they are battling on the side of the hard left Marxists, which is on the side of the jihadis. You've got the media that nearly, certainly what we've come to call the mainstream media, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, and to some extent Fox News, none of them are speaking truth about this. But in the case of CNN and ABC, NBC, CBS, the Associated Press, they are all, you know, coming to bat for the terrorists, clearly, based on every day in the paper, and that the people that are attacked in the media are people like Understanding the Threat, Robert Spencer, Bill Warner. Anybody that speaks truth about this is attacked in the mainstream media, and yet we're never attacked on the facts, which should be noteworthy. So who's winning on the inside? Not the good guys right now. I feel, you know, my professional take is the president's got a handful of people in his cabinet and White House that realize the depth of this or are close to realizing the depth. But even they, it just appears to me there's not an understanding of the battle there. And although I think if anybody understands it, he seems to be the one that does.
Well, that's a good thing and a bad thing to understand. I mean, we're glad we believe that's what we understand, that the president really does get it, but there's a fight going on. Gary, let me just go to you because we talk on this program about the constitutional, the civil side, also the biblical side. Give us just a couple of minutes worth of theology, if you could, what the scripture says about the importance of understanding the times and what that means in this regard. Applied even to this, if we don't understand really what's going on.
Well, it's important that we, and of course, you know, talking about we, everybody under the sound of our voices this afternoon, including Christians, we must understand the times. We must be like the sons of Issachar back in First Chronicles 12 and verse 32, where it said that they were those who understood the times and knew how to lead Israel. That's what we need today. We need for people to not just take everything that they hear for granted, but do research and study into these things on their own. And I'm glad that we talk about Islam to the degree that we do right here on Stand in the Gap today, because we hear things here. We have things here that we share with our people that no other radio program does across this nation with the guests that we receive, with the guests that we have. You know, in Romans chapter 13, And verse 11, it says, "And that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." I think that so many times we find that people in the United States of America, including the church, we are asleep. We've been lured to sleep. You know as well as I do, you remember that back in 2002, I was almost lured into going over to Morocco to talk about various things. And it, the minister of religion from Morocco and the ambassador from Morocco was talking to me and others about how nice and how loving and how peaceful Islam is. This is a message that's out there, and unfortunately, many Christians are picking it up. Many pastors are picking it up because they do not know. Listen, they don't know what the Quran says. We just need to read the Quran. It's high time, ladies and gentlemen, that we wake out of the sleep, we do our own research, understand what the truth is, and then order our lives accordingly.
Gary, good and well stated. John, I want to go back to you. We closed the program in prayer. I'm going to ask Dave to close, so I want you to take just about a minute and a half more, John, no more if you could. And on this idea of understanding the times, if you were to sum up the need for people listening to this program, people in America right now, relative to what is occurring, what would you state is the biggest issue, the problem, and what do we need to do about it?
Well, I've said before, I think the biggest problem is us, not the jihadis, not the hard left Marxists. The problem is us. We need to. So that's the problem. And what do I mean by that? We have forgotten our foundation. Even people that I've talked to who are patriots will say things like we got to get back to the Constitution or somewhere around that. And I remind them that the ideal. In our federal code, there are four documents listed that are organic to U.S. law. And of those four, the Declaration is one. And that's the ideal, and the foundation for our entire legal and governmental system is the law of nature and nature's God, legally defined in Blackstone's commentary as the law book used in the United States for the first 150 years of the Republic, which defines the law of nature's God as Holy Scripture. Which is why the founders had the Bible taught in school so that there was a moral principle to go with the constitutional republic, because a constitutional republic, as the founders said, would collapse without a moral standard. And we need to not only know it, we need to hold each other accountable to it. And Blackstone's commentary said, you cannot create a law that contradicts the law of nature, nature's God. We as citizens are the sovereigns. We have to step in and hold our leaders accountable.
There you go, John. That's well stated. Dave, let me go to you right now. We have a lot to pray about. If you could take this matter before us to the Lord in prayer, we need wisdom. We need God's help in this matter.
Father, we thank you that your word says, as Gary quoted earlier in Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, the season, that it is now high time, it's the instant for us to wake out of sleep. Father, I pray you would take the blinders off of those that are deceived on this topic of Islam, and Lord, help us to awake. I pray within the White House there would be an awakening. I pray you would extend John Guandalo's voice. And Father, I pray you would defeat the forces of those that are deceiving us. And Father, may we hear the truth and live in light of it, is my prayer. And we ask this, Lord Jesus, for your glory. Amen.
This has been Stand in the Gap today, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest, John Guandalo, understandingthethreat.com. Go there to his site, go to ours. See you tomorrow.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township, this is AM.